Blog Talk Radio.
She's singing that song, Jacqueline Carr. It's called Jehovah Jireh. God bless you, everybody. God bless you. Welcome, welcome, welcome to a live broadcast of God's Word to Man. I am Brother Manny, and tonight we have a good one. It may cause a little controversy. Some feelings may be hurt. Some people may be a little upset. Some people may think it's right on time. I don't know. But I definitely would love if you call in and gave your opinion, okay? We're going to answer the calls and orders that they are received. We ask that you limit your comment or question to under a minute to give the brother some time to respond. Tonight's topic, is it time to pass the mantle? Is it time to pass the mantle? I was watching a video today sent to me by Brother Kevin Bruce, and there was a brother he did a video, a brother named Dr. Bridges, Dr. Kenan Bridges. He had a prophetic word. He called it a prophetic word, and he talked about there was a war going on in the spirit. He called it a war between Saul and between David, a war between Saul and between David. He referenced and he spoke and he said that, of course, in the Bible, talked about how the anointing was taken off Saul, and David was anointed to be king, but Saul continued to be king and wanted to continue to be king and did not want to concede to the will of the Most High. And he drew parallel to what exactly is going on in the church today. You have church leadership, people who have been in positions of leadership and over the congregation, over organizations, who are a lot older and a lot stuck in their ways, and they see things that are going on in the among the young emerging ministries of today's Christian leaders, and some say they are intimidated, some say they're jealous, some say they're just in their ways, traditions of men. I'd like to know what you think. Are they just too old-fashioned? Are the young preachers moving too fast, and they're not adhering to sound doctrine, and they're missing some pieces? I don't know. That's why we discuss these things on God's Word to Man on Monday nights, and I want you to call in 323-870-3403. Again, that number is 323-870-3403. Now, you know, I'm a bit of a newcomer to this whole thing, so I'm going to bring on the brothers that study the Bible for real, and the first person I'm going to bring on is my brother. He's my biological brother as well, but also my pastor. His name is the Reverend Pastor Joseph C. Murphy of the Caring Church of Memphis. God bless you, Rev.
God bless you, Brother Manny. Always a pleasure and an honor to be on with you. May God continue to bless you and your household immensely. I am anxious to get started with such an awesome topic on tonight, and I can't wait to hear from my other brothers as well. So, yeah, I'm just blessed to be on.
Amen. Listen, I appreciate you, man. I was introducing you and gave you about 13 titles. I said, wait a minute. I started to tell myself, wait a minute. It's just the rail.
That's it.
So,
that's it.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate you for joining us. I also want to bring on our brother Tom, who is the senior pastor of the Fruit Church of Minneapolis. God bless you, Brother Tom.
God bless you. God bless you. Glad to be here, man. Appreciate you guys for bringing me on.
Listen, you just did a Facebook Live video. It was quick. You just want to touch on a few things, but you were really passionate about this topic, and I thought it appropriate to send you that video and ask you if you had time to come on and speak about this topic, because that brother, he really hit on a great few points. And again, I want to say the name of the brother, this YouTube video he did, his name was Dr. Kenan, K-Y-N-A-N, Bridges, and the topic of that prophetic word was "The War Has Begun." So I know I sent it to the both of you. I want to give you both an opening statement about this topic. I'm going to start with you, Brother Tom.
Man, well, I don't know why you're going to start with my big brother, the Rev of the Caring Church of Memphis. What a mighty man he is.
Well, okay. You can defer, you can defer if you want.
Well, I can never go before him. I can't do that. I want to hear from him because he always teaches me. And even when we disagree on any point, I always get something that he leaves me to think about. So I want to hear him.
go ahead, man. Twin, you are something else. You are really something else. What I love about this situation, and I want our listening audience to understand something, not you, nor Tom, nor Brother Kevin, or myself have collaborated before tonight, what we're going to talk about. And I did share this with you this earlier today, that this morning at 4:30 in the morning, God had allowed me not to go back to sleep. And he began to have me send a message to an apostle friend of mine. So this was at 4:30 in the morning, even before you ever text me to look at the video. And I was saying exactly to him the very thing that was in that video. I had never seen the video before you texted it to me earlier today. And that's what I love about the Holy Spirit. And you know a thing is legit, it is authentic. When God says through his word that he'll confirm a word by the mouth of two or three witnesses. And what I love about this is, as I said before, none of us, not one of us, had had conversations with each other. And so I absolutely believe that 2021 is the year of sanctification and separation. And God is looking for those who will preach his word unadulterated and under the anointing so that the people can get filled in a very spiritually healthy way versus how some, not all, but how some have filled people up with junk food gospel. And that's why people are spiritually sick and not able to even make it through this tough time that we're in, because they don't have anything, they don't have any healthy word to lean back on. So, yeah, that's my opening statement. I'm trying to hold back, but, you know, I know there's others that have to talk. So that's my opening statement.
Well, listen, I invited as many pastors and teachers and preachers and apostles, anybody that want to come on and comment, you're more than welcome. The number is 323-870-3403. I'm going to go to my brother Tom, because, I mean, he was impact. I mean, it was just so passionate. That video, man, I felt what you were saying. And I just was saying to myself, man, he is on fire. So why don't you give the people a little taste of what, you know, I saw in the Facebook Live video?
Well, let's just say that whenever we talk about topics like this, that we have to have both a Holy Spirit and a theological perspective. Would you agree with me, twin? Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Here you are.
Amen.
Yeah. So
yes.
You have, you know, there's the Spirit, which brings the revelation and light into the Word, right? And then there's the theological perspective. And the reason I made the video, Brother Murphy, is just what I was feeling in my spirit. And so when you sent me this video that this brother made, and I believe he made it after I made my video,
yes.
It was just like, oh, my goodness. Okay. Wow. If God, you know, God is a monolith. When he says something, he's speaking the same thing.
That's right.
The same word to all of his people. That's who he is.
That's right.
And so there's a lot of to this topic, because we've got to examine, because this is a cross-cultural topic, Brother Manny, as well. There are a lot of issues that lend to pastors' decisions not to give up the mantle, not to pass the church. There's so many, or to criticize a young pastor for doing it a different way than what they knew to be the right way. And so, yeah, this is a deep study that we can only touch the surface on in 1 hour.
And that's definitely my intention, is to really just touch the surface. And if there is a call, or if there is a buzz, so to speak, or even people reaching out to say, hey, you know what, that topic you had last time, last Monday, I was wondering if you guys can talk more about that topic, you know, if you guys had a little bit more information, you know, and we can even bring on another set of
of leaders, and you know, ministers or pastors or whatever, and we can continue the conversation again next Monday for 2 hours if that's what it takes. I'm just always curious. You know, you hear the young men in the church saying, "Hey, why don't these old guys get out the way, man, and let us run with the ball? You know, get past the ball. You know, let us run with it. You know, you had your time, and specifically as the young man, you know, Dr. Keenan Bridges, he referenced saying, he talked about the whole Saul and David dynamic. I was wondering if the two of you could kind of briefly touch on that, because you know I'm here just to learn like everybody that's listening. So can you kind of touch on exactly what he meant by that and how that relates to what we're going through today? I'm going to start with you, Rev.
So one thing that's important to note, I don't want us to so much get caught up on a perspective of older versus younger, because it really wasn't about older versus younger. It was more about obedient versus disobedient. And what God is doing in this season, he's doing exactly what he did in the day of David and Saul. Saul was given a mandate from God to reign and rule a specific way. Saul didn't do that, and so therefore he lost favor with God. And just like God, now watch this, just like God, and just like in that time, God doesn't just give up on us and say, well, that's it, and you know, I'm done with you. Saul had ample warnings and ample opportunities to fall in line, but he chose to rule his way. He chose to do it his way. And so when God is done allowing us to be us, he's always got a succession plan. God's always got a succession plan. And guess what? We would be wise as pastors, whether no matter who it is, to build into the longevity of our ministries a succession plan, somebody who's going to take over and keep the ministry going after we're gone. But it's not just about having anybody take over. It's about having somebody who has the heart of God. David had the heart of God. David did not take over right away. David was anointed as king while he was still a young lad. God still allowed Saul to reign, but watch this. This was the difference. The anointing, God's approval, seal of approval, had lifted off of Saul. And just like with Saul, there are many who are in ministries, young, old, in between, who have refused to do it God's way. And because they have refused to do it God's way, God's anointing, God's approval, his sanctification of those individuals has lifted off of them. And God is now lining up people who have a heart for him, who will be obedient to his leading, who will understand that this is not my ministry. This is something that God has made me steward over, and I must steward this thing that God has given me in the manner in which God has told me to do it. I cannot be a prophet for profit. I must be a prophet who hears from God and speaks the truth of God's word. I cannot simply be a preacher for popularity. I must be a minister of God's gospel in season, out of season, whether people want to hear the truth, don't want to hear the truth. And that's what God is doing in 2021. God is sanctifying and separating those who will be like David, who have a heart like David, who have a spirit like David. Not perfect people, because David was certainly far from perfect. But he's looking for somebody who has the heart who say, listen, even when I do fall short, I'm going to repent. I'm telling you, in this season, God is dealing with the spirit of pride in the pulpits of America, and you're going to see person after person, God's going to deal with them, because God is looking for a revival in 2021, and he's looking for individuals to be able to use who have the heart of David, the obedience of David, and that's where we're at in this end time season.
Amen. Amen. Now the rev pointed out quite a bit there, Brother Tom, but I think he left you a few pieces there on the cake there. So why don't you go ahead and chime in on what the brother, Dr. Bridges, was saying. I think Rev referenced something that you want to touch on as well, which is the spiritual gifts.
Yeah, you know, Brother Murphy and Rev, issue goes beyond obedience. Okay, we know the scripture said obedience is better than any sacrifice, right? What God says, right? But here's the issue with the act that goes beyond disobedience, disobeying the direct order of God, right? The issue is that Saul took ownership. Follow me.
Amen.
And this is what's happening in today's church today. Saul took ownership of God's word and his work.
Mm-hmm.
When he disobeyed that order, he took all of those goods that were there that God had told him to leave and slay everything. Slay all the oxen, kill everything, don't take nothing for yourself, leave it there.
That's right.
Don't take nothing for yourself, leave it all there. One more time. Don't take nothing for yourself. Leave it all there. Saul took ownership of God's people, and he took ownership of God's work and his position. That's what a lot of pastors are doing today. They're taking ownership of God's church.
Mm-hmm.
The people and the work belong to God.
Amen.
They don't belong to you. You are somebody that God is allowing to be a part of the move. And that's why us young pastors have got to recognize, too, because some of them are messing up, too. Let's be real.
Amen. Amen.
They got to recognize that this is not your work. You have been blessed to be a participant, called by God to participate in his redemption plan for man.
Amen.
That is an honor. But it's not your work. You do not own it. And God was telling Saul, I'm giving you a specific way of doing this because this is the way I want to do it. This is my will. And so what's happening is today, it's a repeating because we're talking about method versus message, right?
Mm-hmm.
God's way will always and forever be the same, but his message, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. But the method by which he deals with and reaches every generation and the method by which he uses one leader versus another, that changes.
Mm-hmm.
Joshua did not have Moses' assignment.
Mm-hmm.
Moses' assignment was to bring it out. Joshua's assignment was to take him in. Don't let me preach on here. But the point is that this is an ownership thing. And people are taking ownership of God's work and his house and his church and his gifts, and that's just not right.
If I could just add a little bit on right there, it wasn't necessarily his assignment, because Moses' assignment was to bring them out, and it also was to take them into the promised land. But when we, and this is where Saul failed, when we call an audible without checking with the coach, we're going to get in trouble every single time. And that speaks to what you were saying a second ago, Twin. Like you can't take ownership of something that you're not a partner. You're not a partner. You've been called to manage. You've been called to steward. And so since you are a steward, you don't get to decide of your own accord without checking with the one who has given you this thing, Moses, I told you to speak to the rock. You don't get to call an audible and smite the rock. I said speak to it. So God is looking for, in this end season, managers, stewards that will be obedient and not call audibles, and more specifically, not cause the team penalties, if I can use those analogies. You can't put the church, and what I mean by the church, you can't put the membership, the congregation, in a worse off situation than they already are by either not feeding them properly or not feeding them at all or fleecing them or whatever it has come into your mind to do, which has been absent of the assignment that God has placed on you. And so that's to your point, Brother Tom. You know, we are stewards over these congregations, and we should count it an honor and a privilege that we've been chosen. But at the end of the day, we must listen to the general manager, the coach. We must listen to the owner, and we must do it the way he desires for it to be done. And it's not about us liking it. It's not about us agreeing with it. There's a prescribed way, because God has an expected end. And so Saul thought within himself, I know what God told me, but I'm going to call this audible, and I'm going to do but that's pride. And whenever there's one sin around, there's always going to be other sins, and pride led to disobedience, and as a result, he fell out of favor with God. When God tells you to do a thing, he means for you to do it exactly how he told you to do it. He's looking for compliance. He's not looking for agreement.
Amen. Amen. Well, speaking of the church, I wanted to ask, and Rev, you can start us off with this question. What effect is this having on the church? Not just from a natural sense, like ministry or as far as the congregation is concerned, attendance and all this kind of stuff, but from a spiritual aspect. If one of you want to handle the one and the other, or if you want to speak on both of them, you're more than welcome. But I want to start with you, Rev.
I think people are weaker spiritually. I think that when situations in life come along, I was just sharing this with somebody the other day about how we have taken the scripture out of context. And we have said, well, the Lord will not put more on you than you can bear. But that scripture is not found anywhere in the Bible. And so what people have done is they've taken 1 Corinthians chapter 10, I believe it is, verse 13, and we've made it try to fit that narrative. Well, that narrative in that text is talking about temptation. It has nothing to do with trials. It has nothing to do with tribulations. It has nothing to do with troubles. It's speaking to temptation. You know what I'm saying? Me being in the middle of a disaster is not a temptation. And so me praying and asking God to deliver my loved one, and he doesn't do that, that has nothing to do with temptation. And so because we have these individuals, and we're not bashing any specific person or even denomination, but we got to call the truth what it is. When the word of God is not being taught properly, then the people will not have a healthy diet spiritually, and consequently, when trials and tribulations come, they will be ill-equipped on how to deal with it, ultimately leading to either disappointment in God or altogether walking away from God, as some have done, because God did not respond based on what they were told in church how God would respond. And so to me, the initial impact is people being ill-prepared to speak the word over their life to their situation, because we've been taught so many things that weren't even applicable or correct according to what the scripture was actually teaching. And so I know my twin can speak to this because he is a student of the scripture. So I pass it to my twin.
Amen.
Yeah, ultimately, it's hurting the church in big ways. I mean, ways in which we can see now and ways in which we don't even know yet. You know what I'm saying? You know how there are you can get in an accident, and sometimes that adrenaline is pumping so hard that you don't even feel the pain. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes you can be blinded by the moment, especially when it comes to like these things, but we don't really see the long term effects and the pain that it is causing. And really, to tell you the truth, it's putting the church in a very serious place, because you have leaders holding on for way, way too long. And as my big brother pointed out earlier, God has a succession plan. God never leaves His word without a witness.
That's right.
God never leaves His word without a witness. And so He has a plan in mind. And it is His desire for churches to live, not to die. Churches are not supposed to die with pastors. I'm going to say that one more time.
Say it
churches
one more time.
Churches are not supposed to die with pastors.
Yeah.
Period.
Yeah. Amen.
And so the long-term effect, you get generations of people who get disconnected from churches. But, you know, some pastors hold on so long, and there's an entire generation of children and grandchildren who walk away from that ministry, get disconnected because there's nothing for them there. Because this pastor is not speaking to that generation. He's still preaching to this generation. And God never wants to ever leave this church where there's not a multi-generational reach, where there's not representation at each generational level in order to connect with the people. And when your season comes, you got to be ready to have the same faith you walk in leadership with. You got to have the same faith to say, my time is up, and I've got to allow the next generation to lead.
That's good.
Hey,
that's real good.
Man.
Let me go to the phones. We have a caller. God bless you. Call you on God's word to man. Is it time to pass the mantle? Who am I speaking with?
My name is Sister Sharita. I'm just listening.
Okay, Sister Sharita, no problem. I'll come back to you in a moment to see if you have any questions or comments, okay?
Mm-hmm.
All right. I now want to bring on our dear brother. He's the one sent me that video that sparked all this controversy. I know it's not controversy, but God bless you, Brother Kevin. How are you?
I'm great. How are you, gentlemen, tonight?
Blessed. How are you, Brother Keith?
I'm blessed. Now, I think you just mentioned the right word, controversy. Y'all know y'all on here starting a controversy.
Well, Brother Keith, tell me this. What did you think about the video and the parallels it drew to today? We were just talking about the effect that it has had on the church today, whether it be natural or spiritual. You can tackle anyone.
Well, I believe that it's definitely both. And I look at I'm quite sure you gentlemen, you know, doing the ministry know Fred Price, who Fred Price is out, and he just recently passed about a week or so ago. And I look at long before Fred Price passed away, he began to grow on in ministry years before. Being who he was able to humble himself enough to say, hey, it's your time.
It's your time,
because I'm not going to be here long, you know, and I'm not saying that he said it in those words, but we have to always prepare, you know. And I was listening to you gentlemen, and you mentioned Moses and Joshua. Well, the Joshua generation is here, and you know, I can say this, that that a lot of the older generation, indeed, they're not willing to let go of the baton so that the race, so that God can finish the race. And I'm not afraid to say that, you know, because that's what it is. And I have a couple of brothers in the faith, and they've been waiting to be released for over 20 years, waiting when God wants us to usher in his kingdom. Wow. You know, and there's no need to fight over work or what must be done in the kingdom of God. The need is everywhere. And God needs laborers. He needs those who are prepared to go out in the field of labor and to bring his people and to bring in a harvest for him. And you know, when I first saw the video, it resonated with me because I was already thinking along those same lines. It's like, what has been passed on? Because all throughout the Bible, it speaks of generations. What's being passed on? You know, one thing about the enemy, he knows how to pass on his technology and his skill set to destroy generations. Why aren't we grooming and preparing young men, young women, to carry that mantle? It's like Elijah gave to Elijah, to carry that mantle on for the purpose of expanding God's kingdom. So I think it is much needed, and I think that, you know, we have to pray, and we have to earnestly seek God on this matter, because it is indeed a battle that is going on. And I'll say this, that God says that thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. All the glory belongs to God.
That's right.
It all comes from him. So who are you to say yay or nay? He's the one that raises up. He's the one that tears down. That's who we should be looking at. The glory belongs to God.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen, brother. Well, I got a question for each of you. First question I'm going to pose to Rev. What does the young emerging pastor have to do with this situation? How does he approach the leadership, the former leadership, or the ones that are unwilling to make that change? How does he approach the situation? And Brother Tom, I want you to answer, how should the older leadership be approaching the situation as far as preparing a successor, mentorship, and how he should choose? Because obviously there's some pastors out there who have legitimate concerns based on this foolishness that's going out here in some of these churches. Let's just be honest. Everything not church. Everything not God.
Amen.
And you can't say that, oh, this is a different way we're reaching the masses by bringing Gucci Mane in and having a concert and maybe throwing in a little gospel music. I'm just saying there's some changes and there's some methods that have just gone way over the top, I mean in excess. So how should the older generation, do you believe, usher in these new emerging young people in their ministries, the Davids, as you say? So, Rev, I'm going to start with you, and then we're going to go to Brother Tom, and then we're going to finish up with Brother Kevin on what he believes moving forward, how the landscape is going to look. Go ahead, Rev.
So if I'm a younger minister in ministry at a location, the first thing I'm going to do is seek God in prayer of how to approach the pastor. And then I'm going to follow what God has led me to do in having that conversation with the pastor and let him know, here's what God is saying to me as far as my track here at this ministry. And I wouldn't just be having a conversation. I would have it, I don't know if you want to, you know, with technology,
if he wants to email a copy of the plan or his suggestions, you want to email him or bring him to the meeting. But I think that there has to be a level of preparedness that the young minister should have when he gets ready to come to the pastor. And to me, you can't be more prepared without first praying and seeking God what to say. Now, somebody said, well, that's the easy Sunday school answer. Well, at the end of the day, you want the wisdom of God to go ahead of you and to lead you into what to say, so you're not just in a meeting saying things either from your own level of intellect or even worse, out of emotion, especially if the meeting starts to not go the way you don't think it should go. And so as a younger minister, I want to be as prepared as I can just to let the pastor know that I'm taking this serious. And so, pastor, here's my short-term plan, here's my long-term plan, and this is what I believe God is saying to me. And I think that God would also give him the young person the wisdom to even know if the pastor is going to be receptive. And if the pastor is not going to be receptive, I believe God would say to the individual, here's how you even deal with it not being received well. And so I would never go into any conversation, more specifically, one that includes my future within a ministry, especially if I believe I'm the successor or I'm part of the succession plan, without seeking God and then putting down in writing what I believe God is saying, so that the pastor understands, listen, I'm organized, I've prayed about this, I'm serious, and here's how I best see this coming as God has shown it to me. So that's what I would do. And as a pastor, that's what I would want from somebody that will be coming to me.
Amen. Brother Tom?
You're talking about the way I should be, right? We're not talking about what is. We're talking about the way I should be, right?
Right. So he tackled
God.
Right.
If I'm a senior pastor, whether I'm at the beginning of my pastorship or whether I've been pastoring 25-30 years, I should be asking God to send me Timothy. I should be asking God to remove all fear, all doubt, and any spirit of the enemy that would make me be intimidated by Timothy.
Amen. That's good.
Y'all hear me?
Amen.
Mm-hmm. Help me, God, to see Timothy and build Timothy up and get Timothy ready. God, help me to see Timothy's gifts outside of my own view. Help me, God, to see Timothy's heart that you put in him. Help me to prepare him in every way that I can. Help me love him. Help me give him whatever tools I can give him to be ready. Then, Father, help me and Timothy have our hearts together and help us in conjunction with our church board and church leadership to prepare them for transition. Whether it's 5 years from now or 10 years from now, help us to create a true written succession plan in order that the ministry might still thrive while Timothy and I are both still there. And then, God, give me enough money to move to Hawaii.
We gotta
ask God, being an older senior pastor, I'm saying, God, give me the right heart, give me the right posture.
Amen.
And give me humility. Because I know it's not easy to look out. I know it's not easy to look at the future standing in front of me while I'm still sitting in the seat. But see, God, don't let jealousy, don't let pride rise up in my heart. Let me not take ownership of your work. Let me be willing and open-hearted to pass this thing on.
Amen. 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 That's right. Amen. On the money. That's right on the money, brother. Mm-hmm. Amen. Brother Kevin, with that said, with that information, you heard the Rev, you heard Brother Tom, what's the landscape looking like? If we can get the emerging young ministers and the seasoned leadership to come together as Brother Tom and Rev talked about, what kind of church are we looking for? Are the people going to see? What kind of church are the people going to be looking for?
Well, I believe that, you know, with the merging of, you know, with what, you know, and, you know, we all have something to offer. And the reason that we do, it's not because we've been in the ministry 30 years, 20 years, or 40 some years now that you're not anymore. I think that's a lot from the enemy to cause that type of, oh, well, you know, but the Fred Price knew when it was time.
Amen.
He understood when it was to step aside and to bow out. And I believe that, you know, God honored him for it. God honored him for that. You know,
amen.
That was make and made his name great because of that.
See, amen.
The greatest reward is when you humble yourself. Because that's when God exalts you.
That's right.
It's not about holding on to something that doesn't even belong to you. It doesn't even belong to you. How can you take the glory and the credit for it? He said, freely you receive, freely give. I just had a seasoned man of God that I met a couple of months ago. And he sat down, we kind of sat down, and when he met me, he said, there is a powerful prophetic gift in you, young man. He said, and God told me to help you to nurture that gift so that he could bring it forward. So here's a man that recognized what God was saying and was ready to respond. So when we get men and women that are willing to give, that are willing because they also play a part in it, in passing,
amen,
in passing, so that the generation after them could carry on. God always desired the generation carry on the legacy of Jesus Christ, the legacy of what? Healing the sick, raising the sick.
That's right.
He said these signs to follow the believers. It don't matter how long you've been in the pulpit. It don't matter how long you've been in service. These signs to follow those that believe.
Mm-hmm.
So God is looking for humility. At the end of the day, how can
Amen.
You humble yourself? If you have all of this, if I ask you to step aside, will you do it?
Yes.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, before we go to our final comp, I'm sorry, Brother Keevan. Go ahead.
I was finishing my point, brother.
Okay. Well, before we go, I appreciate that, brother. Before we go to our final comment, I want to ask Sister Online, Sister Sherita, did you have any questions or have anything to add before we get ready to go off the broadcast?
Yes, to the three different questions you asked the different young men. In the first young man, he forgot to mention fasting because emerging minister, leader, pastor, prophet, apostle, whatever the case may be, they not only have to pray and seek the face of the Lord, but they also have to turn their plate down and fast at the same time so that they can get a clarity and from God on which direction to go and how about to go about approaching their leader. The second young man mentioned about how those in leadership, how would they approach the matter. First of all, you said ask God to send Timothy. Well, the Timothy's going to be there, the Barnabas, the Sauls, the Peters, the Matthews, they're going to be there because God's going to send them. And as a leader, we have to ask God. God will begin to show us and reveal to us the gifts and the callings that he placed on the inside of each individual, and he will begin to show us and show us as leaders their purpose, the why he put them there in that particular ministry. And it's our duty as leaders to lead God directed and point them in the direction to go by nurturing them, training them up, and cultivating them in the anointing and the gifting that God has placed on the inside of them, telling them what not to do, what to do, how to go about doing things, and also at the same time as leaders to share and to be transparent and to share our fall, the things that we have done wrong and how God corrected us as leaders, because emerging leaders have to know these things, because some of them, I'm not even going to say, some leaders send them out there and then they tend to fall and they stay down and never get back up because their leader never took the time to walk them through the process before they sent them out there. And then you ask how the people will, if all these things take place, how would the people see the church as a whole? And so while the young man was talking, God began to speak to me. He began to show me that when we do all these things as a leader, the people or those emerging leaders should be, and when they come and when God sent them to us, they should be able to see the fruits of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Amen.
I'm a leader, so.
Amen. Would you like to let everybody know what your name and where you worship? Where you're the leader of?
I'm Prophet Sherita Berry.
Okay. What's the name of your ministry?
My ministry is Victory and Praise Global International Prophetic Ministries.
Amen. Do you have a social media presence?
I'm on Facebook as Sherita Berry.
Okay, amen. Well, thank you, Sister Sherita. I really appreciate that comment. Any other brothers have anything to say in regards to Sister Sherita's comment?
Well, yeah, that was very good insight. You know, we as leaders that are in place, we got to be honest about the right, the ups and the downs, the hills and the valleys, where we made mistakes, where we didn't do it the right way, because we can't put show the S on our chest, you know, for Superman all the time. We got to show that humility as well, show them that we have not been perfect, because that will also allow the younger pastors to see. That, hey, you know, I'm looking at this strong person, you know, because as a pastor, you have to be vulnerable in some way, okay? And the reality is it takes the Lord and the work of the Holy Spirit. Everybody who's called a preacher is not a pastor. Everybody who prophesies one time is not a prophet or prophetess.
Amen.
The call of God. That's why he said in the book of Jeremiah, I believe, he said, I'm going to give you the heart of a shepherd. You got to have God's heart. A shepherd has a special heart to lead the people. And you got to know that you've been called. And a present leader has got to be able to see and help cultivate the calling on others' lives.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Well, we're going to go ahead and get into our final comments. I want to give you the first opportunity, Rev, because I know that you have a prayer line to get to tonight. So
you go ahead and with your final comment.
No, I just think it's important that as an older leader to understand, like even with me, like all the ministers that God has placed under my care, I am training them in such a way, led by God. I'm training them in such a way so that they are well informed of God's word, and so that we understand that it has to be a personal walk that each one of us have, just not even from a perspective of student teacher, because when we get the personal walk together, then we can know for ourselves if our leader is being authentic. And even as a leader, when my personal walk is together, then I know if my student is being authentic. And at all times, when we're in communication individually with God and then corporately with God, with those under our care, then those relationships are going to be developed. You'll know what you can share with them and what you shouldn't share with them, because I don't believe that every student needs to tell all of their business, no more than I think a pastor needs to tell all of his business to get a point across about whatever they're trying to get a point across about. But I think that the Word of God becomes a place of wisdom, and as I said initially, when you take pride out of the equation, you could have the greatest succession plan in the scripture, because when you understand that this was never mine anyway, this was all God. So when you take pride out of the way, you can build a succession plan, and your ministry will be going on far after you going on and transition into heaven. So.
Amen. Thank you for that, Rev. Again, that's Pastor Joseph Murphy. He is the senior pastor of the Caring Church of Memphis. Amen. And I believe they also have a social media presence, right, Rev?
Yes, sir. You can find us at Caring Church Memphis Facebook page. And we just love God, and we love being a blessing to those around our ministry and even outside the circumference of our ministry, because that's what we believe God has called us to do, is care beyond the four walls of the church. So, yep, you can find us on the Facebook at Caring Church Memphis. Yep. And we're
Amen.
On, I'm sorry.
Thank you for that,
Rev. We're on every Wednesday at 7 p.m. virtually on Facebook, and every Saturday at noon virtually.
Amen. Amen. Brother Tom?
Yes, I just want to say that we should just keep in mind that this is God's work. Again, as I said earlier and highlighted, it's His work. We're participants in it. We're blessed to be a part of it, blessed to be called to it. And we should always keep in mind that God has a plan that we know not of. And we have to think about as we age and as things change, and always be open to hear God above our heads.
Amen.
And always be open to hear Him above our heads. And so,
amen.
I'm praying for the church. I'm praying for leaders, both young and old, because at the
amen.
End of the day, there should not be a division between us, one generation versus the next. That war don't have
amen.
To be there.
Amen.
What we have to do is just, if you hear God, just settle all things. If you hear Him. So let's open up and hear what the Lord has to say.
Amen.
And I believe that the Fruit Church Minneapolis has a social media presence. Can you let us know when the services are, brother?
Yes.
Yeah, you can follow us on all social media platforms. The Fruit Church, the Fruit Church Minneapolis, on all social media platforms, on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook. Every Sunday morning, you can catch up on YouTube and Instagram at 8 a.m. and then we broadcast at 11. We're just preaching the Word of God on Sunday morning. And, we'll share information later towards as the world opens back up. at our physical location of where we're going to be having worship here in Minneapolis. So keep praying for us, and I'm praying for you.
Amen. Amen. Thank you for that, Brother Tom. Sister Sherita, did you have a final comment?
No, just, you know, to those of us, those of everyone that is leaders, we can, the term is what, seasoned leaders? You know, we could be seasoned leaders but still lack the maturity to lead the people in the direction that God needs us to lead them into. So it's always good to do a heart check and check in with God so that God can search us because, you know, we are all still a work in progress. None of us have arrived yet. You know,
right.
We still fall short. We don't cross every T and dot every I. We still have flaws. We cut bleed like everybody else. So that's what I do as a leader. And I suggest every leader do that.
Amen. Amen. And you said we can find you on Facebook, correct? Did you want to get that information?
Yeah, it's Sherita Berry. It's SHARE as an egg, T as in Tom, A as in apple, Berry, BERRY. And I'm on Facebook, and I have a picture up there with my head covered, you know, covered with a scarf.
Amen. 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 Should we be looking out for any broadcasts, any live videos or anything like that? Or should just go and follow, right?
I have a podcast that I do on. I'm on Spotify and iHeartRadio. It's Sherita Berry Ministries.
Oh, amen. Amen. All right. Well, thank you for joining us, sister. You definitely are welcome back at any time on Monday nights at 7 p.m. We're here every night with a different topic. And, you know, I'm always looking for people in positions of leadership to, you know, chime in and give what God has given them. It would be nice to have a sister's point of view as well. Well, normally we had a brother's on. So I definitely welcome you to come back on. Okay.
Amen. I'll always call when the other guys are on and listening to them.
Oh, okay. Yeah, we do have Brother Nate and Brother Lee.
I'm always on with them listening in during the week.
Yeah. Well, amen. Thank you. We appreciate your presence. Absolutely. God bless you. Brother,
bless
Brother
you
Keevan,
all.
You have the final word.
Well, I just wanted to say in conclusion that, you know, we have the greatest example in Jesus. And,
amen.
You know, at one point Jesus, he got a little upset with his disciples. He said, "You wicked and perverse generation." He said, "Y'all ain't getting what I'm trying to get to you so that I can leave this with you." But Jesus wanted nothing but the best. He wanted them to be successful in his absence.
Amen.
And so,
amen.
You know, we have that example from the greatest teacher and the greatest man that ever lived.
Amen.
Knowing and humbling himself to pass on everything that he obtained from the Father. And we say that we follow in the footsteps of Jesus. So there's a lot of soul searching that, and like the sister said, all of us have to do in our walk. I want to bear the fruit of his spirit. You know, that's having the evidence that he resides on the inside.
Yes, sir.
It's bigger than prophesying. It's bigger than all of these things that we deem, oh, they're anointed. Oh, he tore that song to pieces. He tore that song up. But you can have a nasty attitude and miss. He said, "Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." I'm not putting anybody in hell. I'm just saying what the scripture says. You did all of these things. He said, "But I never knew you."
Never knew you.
You know, and the Bible said, your hearts are far from me. When we seek vain glory, and we all have to be careful of this. We all have to be careful of trying to take God's shine.
Come on now. Help us.
We have to step back and we have to examine ourselves. Who did this all come from? Who did this come from?
Yes.
So I just want to say that in conclusion. I don't want to really get into it because I know we got to end here. So.
Well, you know, come on, brother. Now, you know, we still waiting on your series to come back now. You know, we really enjoyed you whenever you came on, and I just can't wait for you to have a regular slot again like you used to. But the guest appearances are okay as well. You know what I'm saying? But we need you back, brother, on the regular, okay?
Amen.
I hear you, brother. I hear you.
Amen.
Okay. Well, folks, that's all for tonight. I really like to thank Sister Sherita Berry for coming on, Prophetess Sherita Berry for coming on and joining us tonight. I'd like to thank Rev. As always, Rev, you know, you always got my back. I appreciate you, man. I love you. Brother Keevan, God bless you. We can't wait to hear from you again. And Brother Tom, wherever you are, I know you hopped off, but I love you, man. God bless you. And folks, may God bless you and continue to keep you. We're praying for you during this hour of COVID, these inclement weather storms that are shutting down parts of the country. We're praying for you. People have died. You know, people have been injured and they've been without. They've lost their jobs. All types of stuff is going on. Just know that we here at God's Word to Man, we're praying for you. We love you. May God continue to bless you and your family and keep you safe. Is our prayer. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
God bless you, everyone. Jesus. Love you.
God Take bless care. You. God bless everybody.
God bless you.
Patient time, so here I am.